Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Linda, and this is Soul in the City, and we are so glad that you are with us on this Sunday evening here in Tennessee. It is a rainy day, and I'm going to be honest. I have been rushing around trying to get everything done, so I thought it would be a good day for us to start the show with a little meditation. So that is what we're going to do. And so we're going to just take some deep breaths. We're going to take another deep breath. And then I am going to start the show with a little instrumental worship music. And we're just going to reflect on the goodness of God and what the Lent season may mean to you as the music is playing. You know, sometimes Lent is not always about what you give up as far as food or drink or any of those things, but it's about what do you give up that no longer serves you. You know, negative thinking, negative self-talk. So in these 2 minutes, I just want us to reflect first on the goodness of God and that we're giving up the negativity, that we're giving up just all those things that no longer serve our being. We're taking these few minutes, I think it's about 3 minutes, just to relax, just to ease our mind, just to let go of the tension and the worry of the day, just to realize that we are God's children and all is well. No matter what went on today, all is well. So let's listen to these few minutes quietly. Well, I hope you had a few minutes. Let's take another deep breath just to get us focused and centered on what we're going to be talking about today. And today we're going to be talking about Lent
And I have a very, very special guest, Reverend Michelle Savacco. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. We just took a few minutes just to kind of reflect for a minute and just to have a quiet moment. And I'm going to introduce you with what I have, and then we're kind of, you know, let Tabitha kind of turn it over to you. But just so the audience knows, and you've been a guest more than a few times, which we've enjoyed and learned a lot, but Reverend Michelle Savacco is an ordained metaphysical thought minister with a PhD in philosophy from the University of Sedona, specializing in pastoral counseling psychology. Michelle has 27-plus years experience in New Thought and is mostly with Unity, and she served several Unity churches and centers in a variety of capacities, including as interns coordinator. A few of the organizations Michelle is currently involved in are as an administrator for a prayer group page with approximately 4,000 members. She's on Facebook for Humanities Team. She's an active member of the Association of Global New Thought and served as the vice president of the Association of Practical Christians. Michelle draws from the experience of growing up in a culturally, racially, and religiously diverse family and reaches out in a variety of ways in a very inclusive way. Her ministry mission is to inspire, empower, and entertain, and she does that in a variety of ways through spiritual support, such as prayer support, special services, and more. As a guest speaker, both in person and on a variety of radio programs, including this one, and through her ministry of music, also rhythm circles, and more. She is a woman of many, many talents, and she's a wealth of wisdom. Welcome to the show, Ms. Jill.
I know, I sound good, right?
Yeah. That's because you are good.
Thank you.
You have so much. Is there anything else that maybe we don't know about? Because I know that God has put a lot of talent in that vessel.
Now, I think that pretty well covered everything, but, you know, who knows what might come up.
Okay. Good. Well, this is Tabitha. How you doing today, Michelle?
Hi, Tabitha. Nice to hear your voice.
Oh, nice to hear yours as well. I'm very interested to hear what you have to talk about today. But before we get started, I want you to share with us a bit about your background.
Okay. Well, I think by sharing my background, that might make it a little bit easier to see the perspective that I'm coming from as we're talking about Lent, because it's kind of an interesting, at least to me, journey. I grew up in a family that is interracial, intercultural, and interfaith. And two of those faiths were Catholic and Jewish, and a couple of other paths that were explored were Buddhism and Confucianism. But probably what shaped me the most is that my grandmother had grown up in the late 1800s with a father that was a theosophist. So since she and I shared a room while I was growing up, I had the opportunity to hear a lot from her about her philosophy. And based on that teaching and understanding, it just had a lot of impact on my life. And to add a little, you know, another facet to it, she had grown up with a Catholic mother. And then she ended up marrying a Jewish man. And so my uncles, my aunt, and my mom went to Catholic school. And although both my mother and aunt ended up converting to Judaism when they got married, both of my uncles remained Catholic. And so as a child, I was going kind of back and forth, like if I would be staying a weekend with one of my aunt or my uncles, I might be going to a Catholic church. If I was at home, I might be attending temple. In fact, I regularly did, and I went to Hebrew school for 5 years, 3 times a week. But it was the Catholic part of my upbringing that really began my journey with Lent. So Before I talk about what Lent meant to me as a child, though, and how I evolved in my understanding, I'd like to just take a moment to talk about exactly what Lent means, because sometimes, you know, we say, okay, we're observing Lent and this is the Lenten season, but some people don't really know what the background of that is. So
true.
The word Lent comes from a Germanic word meaning spring, which is derived from a word meaning to lengthen. Lent is that time when the days are getting longer. So it all, you know, starts with that. It's been observed in the Western Christian church since the first century after Christ, but it hasn't always had the same number of days. Lent actually lasts for 46 days if you count all of them, but because six of them are Sunday feast days, they don't count, which I didn't find out until I was like in my early 30s. I was participating in Lent all the way through, and then I was like, oh my gosh, you mean I could have had Sundays off all this time and I didn't know that? And I was like, wow, you've got to love these days off that we as humans create for ourselves to make things a little bit easier. So I jumped on that one. But
yeah.
Lent is a time for spiritual growth. Fasting is a time to abstain from. And as a child, I was taught that Lent was a time that I should show how grateful I was for Jesus' sacrifice by making my own sacrifice. So it's like, you know, what would you think that would mean to somebody that's 5 or 6 years old when you talk about giving up stuff? Well, the biggest sacrifice I could think of that I could make was to give up ice cream sandwiches, because that was my favorite dessert and my after-school treat. And it was like, so out of everything that there was, ice cream sandwiches was it for me. Then as I grow a little older, I knew, you know, even with going back and forth and the different exposure to different faith paths and spiritual paths, I knew that I was feeling called to be a follower of Jesus. In fact, when I was 12, I decided I wanted to be a nun. I set up a little altar and everything in my bedroom. But then not long after that, I discovered boys. And so then I knew
yeah.
a nun wasn't going to be my calling after all. Yeah. And I also, we had Vatican II right about that same time. And I also realized with that and the different rules that were changing that those must be man-made rules. And so if these are man-made rules, I can be changing at any time. There's got to be some God-made rules, too. So then I started exploring some different denominations. And as I did that, my understanding continued to evolve. And I went a little deeper, and I realized that I needed to give up more. So, you know, by this time, I was, like, well into my teens, into my 20s. And at that point, I'm like, okay, I'm going all out. And I gave up cake, candy, ice cream, and soda, not just ice cream sandwiches anymore. And which, you know, again, doesn't sound like that much. I know there's people that give up liquor, they give up beer or whatever, and, you know, cake, candy, ice cream, and soda really don't sound like that much. But anybody that knows
like
me well, well, they... they well, and people that know me know that I call those my four basic food groups. You know, so to me, that really was giving up a lot. But then, as I got older, in my mid-30s, I ended up finding unity, which, as you know, is one of the New Thought spiritual paths. And as I continued to grow in my understanding, I realized that the Lenten season was not just a season for giving up desserts. There was a scripture, well, there still is a scripture, in 1 Corinthians that says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. And that scripture just, like, really resonated with me, and I thought that unity's teachings – was more in alignment with that.
Well, since you're talking about that, explain a little bit about unity for us and their teachings.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, unity is a movement that was founded on practical positive Christianity, using the examples and the things that Jesus modeled as the core of it, the base of it. And the Bible was considered one of the basic texts, but generally, as well as reading it and knowing that some of that might be history, it's also interpreted metaphysically. And their teachings on Lent centers around giving up negativity. So when I first heard that, well, and I was like, what? You know, I was like, that's awesome or incredible or, you know, something to that effect. I was like, I don't have to give up my sweets and treats anymore. And it was kind of like an exclamation and a question at the same time because I wanted to make sure I was clear about that, you know, because the idea of, you know, just give up negativity, all right, anybody can do that. Well, that was like year one of my Lent experience, the Unity Way or the New Thought Way. And I found that negativity doesn't just mean that you don't have a negative attitude. It doesn't mean that you're just not calling people's names when they cut you off in traffic or possibly making one of those gestures that indicates they're number one. You know, it means all of those things that aren't positive. That includes thoughts, habits, relationships, and material things. Just, you know, anything that's really not serving you at the soul level. So during this time that I feel like I'm taking a closer walk with God during this time, it's become a time that I give up those things that no longer serve me. And you had touched on that in the meditation that we did at the beginning of the program. And those things also include, for me, fear and failure. And those are a couple of the things that I don't know that we really, you know, think about that often when we're thinking about, well, what are our attitudes and our thoughts and stuff like that. But fear and failure, whether real or imagined, can be biggies. And it doesn't mean that I don't feel the feelings, because I do believe that in order to be authentic, we have to feel our feelings. It simply means that I don't focus on them. I don't give them power. And so many of our fears, you know, when you think about it, they're based on something that we think will happen in the future. We're projecting. And how often does that time come and nothing happens? And yet we've expended that energy. And it doesn't really feel so good. And
I'm sorry. You go ahead. I just like what you said about because you say when you give up, and these are emotions, that's kind of hard, even for me and probably other people, to perceive giving up an emotion. But when you say you don't concentrate on focus on that emotion, kind of talk about that a little bit more.
Well, what I do then is in order not to focus on it, it's a matter of reminding myself, oh, yeah, that's not something that's happening now. What's going on now is okay. This is something in the future, so I come back to the moment.
Okay.
And then I do the same thing with ideas of failure. Because in order to feel like you failed at something, that has to be something that's happened in your past, even if it was just a few moments ago. It's something that's already occurred. So again, I do my best to remember to come back to the moment as soon as possible. To me, and I think I've said this before when we've been talking, when Jesus said, give us this day our in the prayer that he modeled for us that we call our Lord's Prayer, that was about living in the moment, not being concerned about our bread for tomorrow, being provided for tomorrow, the, you know, just all the things that we tend to be concerned about tomorrow rather than being in the moment.
That's good. I like that. Yes.
I do too. I'm going to try that.
Well, and that pretty much covers my history, or I should say her story, since I'm a woman, and how I've arrived at, you know, where I am and my observance of Lent. But note, you know, that I pointed out that this particular part of my journey started 27 years ago, and it's something that I still say I'm doing my best to do this, I'm doing my best to do that. It's not a matter of it being a one-shot deal. And, you know, if you can do it and keep doing it, then that's absolutely fantastic. But one of the reasons that we're called practical Christian is because what we do is practice. You know, and a lot of these things take practice, just like doctors practice medicine and lawyers practice law. You know, it's not something that you just do now and then you let it go. It's something that you do continually.
So really, Lent can be, you know, a focus and a beginning for you to, you know, practice giving up some of those things, like we said, that no longer serve you, your fear, your negativity, your unforgiveness, you know, for you to practice that to begin, like if it was somebody you weren't forgiving for whatever reason, this is a good season when you also reflect on Jesus giving up so much of himself for us. This is a good season for people to reflect and give up, like the ability to forgive somebody.
Right.
And start it and continue forward. So it's a process, and it's also teaching you that to give up these negative habits is a process.
It is. And when you think about it, you know, as you're unloading these things, sometimes you've got emotions that go along with them and things like that. Especially when you're doing forgiveness work, I think it can very much feel like you're going through a crucifixion experience.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the resurrection, you're experiencing a rebirth. And as you're, like I have a song that's called Born Again that uses the phoenix, which is one of my favorite symbols of being born again, because just about everybody that I know with any age on them at all, at some point in their life has kind of crashed and burned and then risen again. And so essentially, to me, that's what this time is also representing in my life, is that this is that opportunity to spend these weeks so that I might be able to better fully experience and express God by getting rid of these things, even if it means kind of a crash and burn and then rising again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, and Lenten, and just for people who may not know, although people pretty much know that, can you explain, like, when it begins, when it ends, that kind of thing, just so we can have, you know, so people know?
Well,
it
changes on the calendar every year, and because Easter changes. You know, and they have a way that they calculate that depending on the moon and some things like that, which I don't remember exactly how the calculation's done, but it starts 46 days before Easter on Ash Wednesday, which we just had, I think that was a week ago Wednesday that we did that. And altogether, it'll be for 40 days, and I'm going to talk in a minute about what I think the significance of that number is. And like I said, it actually is 46 days, but we've got Sundays off for feast days, as they call them.
Okay.
So it ends up actually being 40 days of observing.
Yeah, that's good. You know, sometimes there's some controversy about the Lent season. Not really controversy, but some people feel like it's kind of like a pagan kind of thing, or they may say certain things that, you know, we don't have to really
do anything on that day. But I feel like if you look at it, as you're saying, as a personal journey I feel like it's a bad thing if it was a pagan holiday either, but it's just a personal
Well, so
journey.
Many of our holidays, you know, so many of the holidays that we do have like pagan origins in terms of where they got their beginnings and stuff like that. So it wouldn't be surprising if there is part of that. But I think Lent is a personal journey. There's different people that observe it in different ways. And the bottom line is that I think there are so many different religions, spiritual paths, faith paths, and so many different denominations of each of those because we each experience God differently. And so there's just that many different ways that God has talked to people and things resonate with people, and everybody's in different places on their own paths and stuff. So the bottom line is that you just have to, you know, do what works for you. And sometimes, you know, for me, for years, giving up my four basic food groups, you know, that worked for me. But then I realized at some point, no, there has to be something more.
Yeah, that is so good. And the way you explained it, I think, is really, really, really good.
Well, thank you.
You know, and I do like the new thought principle of giving up, you know, the negativity. And it's, to me, like I said, it's kind of like a place to start sometimes when you put it with the fasting of giving up this whatever that negative emotion or quality or characteristic that you've been caring for a long time. It's like you're giving that the same, you know, in remembrance of Christ, what Christ had done. So I think it's a really good thing to look at it that way.
Well,
I love what you
and
said,
knowing
everybody
that, knowing that we are a body temple, one of the things that's important to me is that mind-body-spirit connection and balance. So even though we're giving up, quote, negativity, it's any of those things that don't serve us, you know, it on all those different levels. So even though at this point I might not be giving up cake for Lent or soda for Lent, it is a time that I'm more mindful about what am I putting into my body? What might I be doing in excess that's not helpful? And I also do the same thing with my mind. I might be on Facebook, for example, and I'm looking at my news feed and I'm seeing one challenge after another, things going on around the world. And a lot of them, you know, I treat as prayer requests, but I also recognize that in order to feel balanced emotionally and mentally and stuff, that I've also got to try to find those things that add some light, whether it's inspirational posts or things that are funny, but something to balance out all the tragedy and stuff that's going on.
I love that. I agree with that. Yes, that's great. That's a great point because you can get, and not only on Facebook and on, you know, we're just social media curious sometimes, looking at the news, all of those avenues can bring a lot of, sometimes it is pretty negative information and you do have to find, and that's why I love the people that post, you know, positive things or funny things, uplifting things. It's like a break.
It is. Yep, and we have to have that in order to have the balance. And again, that's something to me that's practical.
Yes, it is. It is.
So, but now for this Lenten experience, there was a book that I think you told me that you've started reading it called Keep a True Lent.
Yes.
Did you say you started reading that? Yes.
Yeah, I read a little bit of it. Now, it is really some profound things in that book that I just had to settle on for a minute, and I know I'll let you explain. Tabitha, do you have anything about the book or anything?
I want you to tell me a little bit more about it because I haven't had a chance to get to read it, and what other tools that you can find helpful, you know, that people can turn to at this time.
Well, mostly the in terms of tools, meditation. I do focus more on meditation at this time of year probably than any other time. Book-wise, this is probably my favorite, although I don't feel like it's easy reading. But I've participated several times either as part of a group or facilitating a group and also individually. And like I said, this is the my 27th year of experiencing Lent in the way that I'm doing it. And back when I first got involved in Unity, a friend of mine gave me a book that her husband had bought when it first came out in 1953, and it was Keep It Through Lent. So I decided last year that while it might be fairly easy to understand, there's some terminology that if you're not in New Thought and you're not familiar with some of the terminology, it makes it a little challenging to understand exactly what's meant. So I've tried to add some explanations, and I'm probably, well, not quite halfway through the book now, but I'm trying to add some explanations that might give more clarity to people that are either new or aren't familiar with the concepts. It is considered a Unity classic, and I think it's wonderful to use the lessons for transformation and for spiritual awakening. And like I said, to me, it's all about the balance of mind, body, and spirit so that we may experience and express God more fully in our human experiences. So there are chapters and there are lessons, and so we'll talk about a few of those. And the first thing, the first thing that I was going to do real quick, though, is I mentioned to you before that and I don't want to forget about it, but there was that number 40, because you were asking me, you know, when Lent starts and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so like I said, Lent technically lasts for 40 days because of that 6 days off that we have for the feast days. If you look in the Bible, you will see many references to the number 40. And a few of the most easily remembered are when Moses and the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and how it rained for 40 days and nights when God wanted to cleanse the world. And I'm emphasizing cleanse. Moses went up to the mountain for 40 days. Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness and was seen on earth 40 days after his crucifixion. So take special note where, you know, I said I want to emphasize cleanse. The rain for 40 days and 40 nights, the cleansing that was supposed to have taken place. Then add to that that when someone is fasting, whether that was their sole purpose or intention or not, it's going to result in cleansing or purification. And when you start looking at those things that way, it's like, oh, maybe this means more than just 40 literal days. Maybe this 40 means something. So to me, metaphysically, it represents cleansing, that this is a time that we're cleansing ourselves as we release those things that aren't serving us. Then there's also those that believe that the number 40 represents complete rather than a specific amount of time. You're just going to keep doing it until you're done with it, and that the number 40 represents that. So if either of those things, you know, resonate with you, then you're welcome to use those.
Oh, both of those resonate with us. I
I kind of am going through the book and going through some of the lessons, and you can add here. I just see something in here that in Fillmore's book, it says Lent is a season, and you talked about a spiritual growth, a time of progressive unfoldment, and we kind of talked about that. When we blend and merge our mind with God's mind, it's a way to open for the Lord to glorify us and to lift us in higher, purer, more spiritual state. I kind of like that. I think that's a really good quote from the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I said to me, this is a time that I really feel like I'm taking a closer walk with God, you know, and that it is all about being able to experience God more in my life and how that shows up in my life, not where it's just like God and me, but how I'm expressing that, you know, because we know that it's something that's, it's energy. And so it's something that we've got to share.
Yes.
So
yes.
The three things that I that I thought I would focus on this evening was the first topics in the book, which are the use of denials and affirmations, and then faith.
Mm-hmm.
So starting with denial, there are some people that think when you say denial that that means that you're in denial about, you know, things. But it doesn't. It means that you understand that whatever the situation or the circumstances, that it doesn't have any real power over you other than what you give it.
Well, that's,
But
I was just saying that's
something
good, yeah.
Something that we sometimes don't talk about is the acknowledging that takes place before that. Because before we can use a denial, we actually have to acknowledge that this is where we are. Just as if you're going to make a trip. If I'm going to come see you, you know, I can't do that unless I know where I am right now. I got to know my starting point. So by acknowledging what's going on and embracing that and having the willingness to release it, then I continue with the denial part, saying that it has no power. So my process goes something like this. I seem to be experiencing this, but it doesn't have any power over me. There is only one presence and one power, inserting, you know, whatever it is that you call that one power and the one presence. In Keep It True Lent, Charles Fillmore points out that Jesus said, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, and goes on to say the God of the living is always present with you, awaiting your conscious recognition. Let the divine life substance flow into your mind, and it'll cleanse you of all false race consciousness beliefs. And when he says race, he's not talking about the different races of people. He's talking about collectively the human race and what that collective consciousness is.
Yeah. And you know, I think I'm glad you brought up that denial is not like denial, I deny something. It's really denying the negativity or whatever it is, the negative emotion or characteristic. That is really the denial.
Right, that it has any power over you at all. It just, it is, and that's just it. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. And I think that's, in doing this in the Lent season when you're giving up, especially when you're giving up the negative emotion, negative characteristic, negative, whatever that negative thing is, that first you're denying the, like I'm just using your unforgiveness, you're denying that that has the power over you and that you can reach a place of forgiveness for somebody.
Right, and that which that will follow when you get to the next step after denials comes affirmations. But then in between that, We've got the word that I used to think was really scary, repent. There's a lesson in the book, you know, that goes along with this that mentions that John the Baptist said, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The word repent shows up 56 times in the Bible.
Mm.
But, you know, so to me, it's something that I think needs exploration. When I think of repent, it takes me back to my Methodist days, as well as some of the other mainstream denominations I explored. And like I said, it had a scary feeling to it when I would hear it back then. But now I have a new understanding of that based on the way that I understand that it's been, was translated.
Mm-hmm.
Because my understanding now is that repent actually means denial in terms of the Greek word translating meaning to change your mind.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I've heard
and it's,
turn
you
away.
Know, and when you think about, yeah, when you think about repent, go in another direction. If it's not working for you, turn the other way.
Yeah,
it's like, wow, that's not scary.
Mm-mm.
But it's kind of the same way many of us grew up with the thing about, you know, sin and being sinners. And then we mm-hmm. find out that sin is actually an archery term that just means missing the mark. And it was, you know, it's like, well, my gosh, everybody misses the mark sometimes.
Yes.
If we were perfect, we wouldn't be wearing these earth suits anymore.
There you go. And I like how New Thought term for sin, or one of the things about sin is that it's wrong thinking, wrong acting.
Error thinking.
Wrong,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it kind of, we all fall short. We all have those periods when we
right.
pass
we all miss the mark.
Point.
Mm-hmm.
We've all missed the mark, like you right. said.
Yeah. And so once you realize that, then instead of being something that makes you feel badly about yourself, you start feeling empowered because
mm-hmm.
you haven't given your power over to these other things. You realize that you're empowered.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that
like I said, the
great.
Next thing then is, there's an affirmation that goes along with these thoughts and teaching, which is, I keep a true Lent by denying limiting beliefs of the past and by laying hold of positive ideas that are life-giving. Thus, I spiritualize my thinking and transform my life. And I think that kind of says it all, you know, in a nutshell. We're
it
denying.
Really does.
That's what we're denying, are those limited beliefs that we've had in the past because we're not taking them into the present or into the future with us. And we are laying hold of the positive ideas that are life-giving.
Mm.
And so now, I've shared the affirmation with you, so now I should probably explain for anybody that doesn't know what an affirmation is.
That would be good.
Well, an affirmation is simply a statement of truth. It's what you want to create in your life. So it's important to be mindful of what you're saying and how you're saying it. For example, we believe that whenever we say, I am, we're making a declaration of our truth. So to say, I am sick, you know, if I ask you, how are you feeling? And you say, I am sick. That's the same as affirming that you believe that that's the truth of your being. However, if you say, I appear to be sick, but I'm getting better, or I feel sick, but I know I'm getting better, then you've made it about expressing an appearance or a feeling. Not what you believe to be the truth of who you are. You've followed up with the truth of who you are, which is someone who is getting better.
Yeah.
So does that make sense?
A lot of sense. It just really, you know, which I believe so wholeheartedly anyway, with the power of the spoken word and how
mm-hmm.
we speak, you know, how we speak kind of creates in within our world.
Well, it does, because there are different things that I think are, you know, with everything being energy, and then there's different vibrations, different frequencies, but the main thing is, affirmations are a form of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're saying affirmations, it's not like we're telling God something that God doesn't already know. God knows absolutely everything. We're saying these things to take them into us at the core of our being,
yeah. mm-hmm.
to remind ourselves.
How so
in Keep It True Lent, Fillmore says, Jesus taught his followers to assert the affirmative in thought and word. We don't know the exact words he used in his statements, but judging by the English into which they've been translated from the Greek, Jesus was very positive in his assertion of the power of spiritual man and especially of those who follow his teaching. He taught that the word could be used to build or destroy. To me, one of the best examples of that is when Lazarus is being raised up. And
mm-hmm.
and Jesus' example of just, you know, giving thanks in advance, knowing that that would be done. How many of us give thanks in advance rather than waiting until something is already done and then saying thank you?
Yeah, yeah. And that is the power of affirmation, basically, to state,
mm-hmm.
like you said, for yourself, because God already knows, but it's affirming in your spirit what it is that you are
mm-hmm.
having the intent for or the intention for.
Well, and Fillmore goes on to say that the fact is that religion, comprehended in its fullest, includes psychology. And when you think about it, think about the rules that have been created by man in the name of God as part of a religion that are actually there to control, and often not in a positive way, but a fearful way. And I think Jesus was a profound psychologist, and that's what the position that Fillmore comes from in writing this. And we are promised that we can reap the benefits promised to us by Jesus if we assume the mental attitude and practice the power of words that Jesus taught.
Yes.
And like I said earlier, unity is rooted in Christianity. We honor all loving paths, but, you know, we are rooted in Christianity. So if you read the book or do any studying of unity, you'll see phrases like, Christ consciousness used. And we often end an affirmation, which, as I mentioned before, is actually a form of prayer or other styles of prayer, by asking that this be done through Jesus Christ. However, in unity, when we include our affirmation through Jesus Christ or in the name of Jesus Christ, what we're actually saying is in the nature of, and that nature is love. There is just about any place I've ever spoken, any of the pages I participate on Facebook, wherever I have a voice, at some point you will hear me say that I believe we were created by love as love to express love. Love is who we are at the core of our being. And to me, that is that essence that we have our connection with God as God's children.
Yes.
In the daily lesson about affirmations, Fillmore states that the word is the working power of divine mind. One will never go down in defeat in its hour of need if he positively affirms the almightiness of God mind through Christ and invokes its help in his behalf. One of the highest affirmations you can make, according to Fillmore, is, I declare that as a child of God, I am now entering the Christ consciousness. And you can also declare, as Jesus did, I am the Father, or Creator, or Spirit, whatever word, you know, you're comfortable with. But affirming that we are one. Always being aware that no matter what, you can't be separated from God.
Well, even
so
with the
affirmations. Pardon?
I was just saying, even with Christ consciousness, there's a place where Jesus said, let this mind be in you that also is in Christ. Paul said that, actually. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus, which is Christ consciousness. That's in the consciousness that you take on in your mind, or an awareness of Christ. That's the mind of Christ. Yeah.
Yep. So the bottom line is, we're using the affirmations because they help establish that truth in our consciousness. We've been told that we're heirs and heiresses to the kingdom, created in God's image and likeness. Although we've got a whole lot of people that for a few thousand years now, several thousand years, have been trying to create God in their image and likeness, the truth, with a capital T, is that we're created in God's image and likeness. And that image and likeness to me is love. So, you know, let's take that knowledge into the core of our being through using affirmations.
Love it.
So we've talked about...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, I was going to say we've talked about acknowledging denials and affirmation. And in doing that, making sure that we do it in a way that we're really communicating what it is that we desire. But why is this? I think it's because we have a conscious, a subconscious, and a superconscious. Mm-hmm. And those things that we think on the different levels all contribute to the whole of our consciousness. So by taking control over what we're thinking, part of which is being aware of the statements that we're making, we are trying and hopefully succeeding in unifying our statements with our source, God, by whatever name we're using. So one of the to-dos in saying prayers and affirmations is to remember and state that we're unified. So like when I'm doing an affirmation, sometimes as a reminder to myself, I'll start with, there is only one presence and power, and then I follow with, and I am one with that presence and power. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we just feel kind of disconnected, and we need that reminder.
Yes,
but that reminds me, you know, that God is always present in my life. I like to go back to Romans with that. In Romans 8, where it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Right.
And I take that, like, totally seriously, that there may be times, you know, where I'm feeling disconnected and asking God, you know, where are you? And but the reality is that nothing can separate us. So my experience has been that once I consciously realize that God is everywhere present, including within me, it makes a difference in how I function, my thoughts, my relationships to others and with others and everything. So essentially in doing this, I've taken God into partnership. And that's important to me. It's been important to me when I've had actual businesses, and it's important to me as an individual, because I know that God can't fail. And so that means with God as my partner, I can't fail either.
Right. So good.
And that just
so
feels
good.
So good.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah. It does.
And then, of course,
well, you have it
for all
another...
that to work. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I was just saying, what else did you have for us?
I was just going to say that in order for this to work, it can't just be about the words, and that there has to be faith, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, because sometimes you get to the point where you feel like, oh, my gosh, this is just word games. You know, got to remember to do this and don't do that and stuff like that. But I think it's more about the intention and the feeling behind the words,
mm-hmm.
and then the faith. You know, because faith, as most of us have read or heard, is the assurance of things hoped for. And sometimes mm-hmm. in my human experiences, I have challenges that make it difficult to keep the faith, but I understand that faith is something that takes place on a spiritual level. And as Fillmore says, it's a spiritual assurance, the power to do the seemingly impossible. It's a force that draws to us our heart's desire right out of the invisible spiritual substance.
Mm.
And it's essentially co-creating our reality in this partnership. There's always going to be situations and circumstances that come up that we can't really control. I joke sometimes about how I can't control anything except myself, and I can't control my hair at all. You know, so there's even parts of me I can't control. But it's that faith, because you're cooperating with the creative law when you're doing that. And in New Thought, we believe that everything begins with thought. And does that mean we're just going to go off in a corner and think about something and it'll manifest? It hasn't been my experience. But after the thought comes a feeling, and then based on that feeling, we say and do something or not. But we have faith that we'll get the clarity we need, that we get the divine guidance that we need and the divine wisdom, so that we'll know what is ours to do.
Wow. So many profound moments. I'm going to go back over all of this and soak some of it in. There were really some good things that you shared. Do you have anything, Tabitha?
I wanted to, this has been really great. I wanted to ask if, you know, a person who has never did the Lent, you know, with that book by Charles Fillmore, does it give you, like, day by day, like, what a person should do or how the process should be if someone's just getting started? Do you have advice for anyone that's just started?
There are chapters in the first part of the book that touch on a variety of the different things. And then there's a lesson for every day. And,
okay.
like, one of them will be about denials, one's affirmations, and it goes through with one for every day, and he's even added something for Sunday. And there are also affirmations that he gives you. And so it really is, you know, a pretty complete book. And like I said, it was written 60 years ago now, 61 years ago. And so the language, you know, sometimes seems a little old-fashioned, and it might be a little bit hard to understand. But to me, you know, I've just used it, I would say probably in the 27 years that I've had my copy, I've probably used it at least 12 or 15 of them. I just keep going back to it. It's kind of like the Bible, where you're peeling off layers. And
yes.
it's like each time you go back, as you're growing and you're evolving and you have new awareness and understanding, things
mm-hmm.
come up for you that you may not have seen the first time around and the second time around. And
yes.
And I think that may be one of the books that's available even on the Internet. If you do a search on the web, because quite a few of his books are available where you can just pull them up, like, as a PDF file.
Yes, okay. Great. I think it is available the New Thought site. I think it might be available on that almost for free. I got mine on Amazon, and I think it was only $2.99 for my Kindle.
Uh-huh.
So it's very economical.
Well, if I can find the link, it might be on Truth Unity or something like that. If I can find the link for one that you're able to download without a charge for Tabitha and that you can share with listeners, I'll go ahead and put it on the Soul in the City page and so that you can share that.
Well, we just want to thank you. So informative. I really learned a lot. How about you,
Kat?
Yes,
I did. going through
Oh, you're very welcome.
Fillmore's book, A True Lent, has been really awesome for me, and I'm still going through it. And I think it's just so many profound things. I really suggest you read it. It'll give you a whole new understanding of what you're doing and during the Lenten season. I think it's an awesome book. Michelle, I just want to thank you so, so much for joining us.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Yes, because you bring so much information each time you come. You're an awesome teacher. You really are an awesome teacher. Please, how that open invitation. If you have something you want to share, just give me a hit me on the message board.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
And it was great meeting you, Tabitha.
You as well, and thank you for everything. All the information is very informative. And
my pleasure.
Yes, if you get that link, please send it.
Maybe
so
next time you'll even get to talk a little more.
Yes, maybe so. Yes, thanks again, and we want to. Do you have any last remarks? Anything that you would like to say?
No, I think that's about it. I pretty much covered, you know, what I was planning on talking about, but.
Yes, you did. You really did. And I want to thank you and want to thank everyone for listening to Soul in the City, where we teach and empower you to be better and stronger. And, okay, well, this is the end of Soul in the City. We're just going to go out with a little bit of Kirk Franklin, Imagine Me. Have a blessed week. I hope you, you know, take what Michelle, Reverend Michelle had to say about Lent. If you're not observing, I don't feel like it's too late, especially if you're going to give up something, a negative emotion, characteristic, or whatever, to think about it and give it, because it'll be the beginning of a process where you practice being your best self. So have a blessed week. We know that because God is awesome, so are you. You're a reflection of Him on the earth realm, and we love you. This is Soul in the City. And this is Kirk Franklin's Imagine Me as we go out.
Thank you. I'm going to see myself the way you see me. Thank you.
Thank you.